WOTB, that's Word the Bay, is brought to you by Audible.com. Go to www.audibletrial.com/yark to get your free audiobook download. Oh my God. And a 30-day free trial with over 180,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPod, MP3 player, and what else, Jonathan?
The Kindle.
The Kindle. God, the room is hot. It's episode 97. It is Word of the Bay. I'm Kyle,
and I'm Jonathan.
And yeah, what's up, man?
Not much. I was just trying to jump in there where you're like, "Ooh, the room's hot." And I was gonna be like, hey, "But your mom's not, bro." But God, you know,
Robert, we were playing.
Who?
Robert from Shark Dropper. We were all hanging out Sunday. For Nick's birthday, and we were playing beer pong. Nick and Jonathan dominate the entire day.
I know. We were like the Yankees, man.
You guys, 27, like, you didn't lose the entire day.
No, we played, well, to inform the listener, we were having two little sports going. We had cornhole, and we had beer pong. And I was just like, yeah, I'll play cornhole, and you usually, as these things go, you play until you lose, and then the winner gets dethroned. And all that stuff. So I just jumped on with the birthday boy, Nick, and won the first game, won the second game. And then all of a sudden, it keeps adding up, and it's like 7-0, 8-0. I'm like, all right, well, I'm getting kind of sick of cornhole, as everybody was. So we whipped out the beer pong table, and we just fucking dominated that, too. We went 4-0 on the beer pong table, and then like it was just crazy. I felt like the Yankees, like everybody was booing us, and rooting for every, you know, somebody to take us down.
There's not to get to the whole breakdown of beer pong game, but I mean this might have been one of the greatest beer pong comebacks I've seen in a long time.
It's pretty epic.
I think you were down. You the game was over. I mean, someone had you. The final cup. They got you. They scored. They sank the ball. You guys had to make redemption, and both of you made it.
And both of us made it.
Yeah,
I know. I saw the light. And it pushed me back.
But what reminded me of that is, I think you're playing Robert. Is it? Yeah, you're playing Robert and I from Shark Dropper. And he's like, yeah, can I get a re-rack, the one that looks like your mom?
Like, yeah, I remember that one. But there was like two cups. It's like, what the fuck are you supposed to do with that?
What are you going
to
do? Yeah.
No. That was a fun time, though. Real, real good time.
Yeah, it was.
Drank too much. Drove home after drinking too much.
God damn. I had this whole plan. I was going to go to my mom's and, like, you know, do some laundry, but, like, pass down the bed.
Dude, yeah. I went home. I put on two episodes of The Office because I'm watching it with Jen now. She's never seen it.
Really?
She's never seen it all the way through.
Where are you on now?
Season 5.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's still good.
I thought it's been good to... It's good all the way through.
It got... Like, I stopped watching after...
Okay. No spoilers.
All right.
No spoilers, because a certain somebody who hasn't seen that listens to this.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
After
a certain
event
happens,
it went downhill, but it redeemed itself in the final season.
That's what I hear, and I'd like to go back and watch it.
Oh, yeah. Mr. Shit Talker. Yeah, well, hasn't even seen the final season.
I do want to watch the final season, but it's like nowadays, it's like, when the fuck am I going to have time to watch a show? People ask me all the time, like, hey, are you watching Banshee? I'm like, no.
What about Banshee 2?
Yeah, fuck no.
No.
I got no time to sit down and watch you mean I need to set aside 30 minutes to watch a show? Or an hour, God forbid? Like Game of Thrones. Like, oh, you got to watch Game of Thrones. Fuck that.
It's like, yeah, I completely understand. Somebody did that to me lately, like, oh, you like Breaking Bad. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, you got to check out this new Netflix original. It's called, like, I don't know, The Eight or something. Mm. I don't fucking know. It's all about quantum physics. You know, remember?
Fucking love quantum physics, man.
And then I fucking put it on, and about, like, it was this, like, weird opening scene with, like, 5 minutes of, like, weird shit going on. And it was, like, kind of like this, like, techno-punk, like gutter punk kind of thing.
Really?
Which is like not my scene. And then all of a sudden, like the credits open up and it goes, created, written, and directed by the Wachowskis. And I go, off.
Next. Yeah. Fuck that.
Off.
What is this, The Matrix? Or?
Yeah, Jesus.
It's funny you should mention that because I was reading about Inception today.
Ooh.
Do you think Inception has to be the most creative movie since The Matrix? They hit it out of the park, the Wachowskis, with The Matrix.
The very first one, yeah, absolutely.
First Matrix. Oh yeah, the rest of them are dog shit. But
yeah, you know what's weird to me, and welcome to the sports talk radio show.
Listen, okay, fuck all you guys. It was just the most boring week in sports where like literally no sports happened. You had the All-Star game and then like four baseball games.
It's like, well, yeah, what are we going to report on? Two nights of baseball?
Yeah.
Three nights of baseball?
Some guy in the NFL signed a contract.
Yeah, great. And another guy didn't?
Yeah.
Hasn't yet?
Might have.
Maybe coming.
Yeah.
So back to our Inception conversation.
Back to the real shit.
It's interesting to me that a lot of people compare the Inception and The Matrix to being like almost identical movies.
I wouldn't say identical, but they touch on similar themes.
They do, but like I remember when Inception first came out and like all the reviews were coming out, it seemed like everybody was like, well, it's like The Matrix, just newer.
Really?
I was like, fuck, no, it's not.
No, it's a different thing. It's just, it's thematically, it's like, it's there. It's of the... you know, you're not in control of your own consciousness sort of thing.
Well, if you listen to one of our other podcasts called Shark Droppers Top 5, I am one of the hosts on that show, and our most recent episode that we just released was Top 5 Movies. And spoiler alert, my number one is Inception.
Mm-hmm.
And a point that I made on that movie was it is in a industry, in the times of the movies, the temperature of the movie making industry today is what? Sequels, reboots, and redos.
Right.
And it's just like when a movie like Inception or Interstellar comes out, you just go, oh, thank God, something that wasn't adapted from a TV show from the 80s, a comic book character, or a rehash reboot of, you know, Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah.
Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking to the wrong guy because I got a lot of bias for that movie.
Yeah, I know. So I guess you weren't a fan of the Suicide Squad trailer? Or?
No, I really wasn't. And now here's the thing with the Suicide Squad. You just had, arguably, within the last 5 years, somebody play the Joker.
Yep.
In arguably the best supporting actor role known to cinema.
Won an Oscar for it, posthumously.
Why the fuck would you take a role that soon after that perfect representation of the Joker?
I think if you listen like the trailer, Jared Leto's doing the Heath Ledger Joker voice.
He is.
Yeah. It's like to bring something to the character, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not going to kill you.
Yeah. He almost made it like this kind of sound, like that, you know, the Joker.
Yeah, with the tongue, like heavy tongue.
Heavy tongue.
I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really bad.
He's going to... You only got these scars. Like, oh, God.
Off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.
I mean, I wasn't a big fan of Man of Steel, the Superman movie.
I'm not even a fan of Superman, so I skipped it.
Yeah. It's worth a skip. So I don't know. I agree with you. Like, I get it hyped up every once in a while about a superhero flick, but like more often than not, they've been shit.
Well, it's like how many times do you want to reboot Spider-Man?
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
Fucking Christ.
Doing it again, baby. Civil War. Let's go.
I know.
Maybe I guess we would be remiss if we didn't talk sports, though.
I have some sports related for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, so out of all 32 NFL teams, do you know which is the only team that needs to report their national financial income?
The Packers, I would assume, because their ownership is the the only thing that's different.
Correct.
Okay.
So for those of you who don't know how this all works, teams will bring in money from merchandising, from TV, from radio, all that shit, right? And they have to split it with the other teams.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So Packers released their numbers today. Do you want to know how much they gave in cash to each team
For revenue sharing?
For revenue sharing.
I'll say... I'm just going to throw it out there. I'll say 20 million.
226.4 million
Fuck.
Per team.
I was almost going to go 500 million, but I thought, like, that's too much. That's way too much.
It's too crazy, right? Okay. You want to do the math in your head? You want to try it?
Try it.
Okay. If it's 226 million to each team in 1 year,
mm-hmm.
how much do they dole out overall in 1 year?
Like, you mean the NFL as
the Packers, not the NFL.
Oh, wait, so one team?
Or was it 226 million to each team in the NFL?
It's got to be close to a billion.
$7 billion.
Yeah, fucking A.
That's how much the Packers are bringing in through radio and TV and merchandising.
So, oh my God.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Oh my God.
And if look,
that's the Packers.
I had to read it twice. I had to read it twice. Read that and tell me I'm not wrong.
Oh, fuck. 7.2 billion with a B.
That's billion with a B, people. In 1 year. I had to read it like, no, this has got to be over the last decade or something. Nope. Annual.
The NFL is printing money. And they have the fucking audacity to go to taxpayers and be like, well, we need a stadium.
Right.
$7 billion will pay for seven stadiums.
You know what that is, Kyle? That's the salary cap for a team.
Christ almighty. Is it though? That's just being the best sport in America right now.
But the Buccaneers got $226 million from us saying, here you go, spend it on your players this year.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable to me.
It is.
that's bigger than Apple.
That's revenue sharing though. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the thing. The NFL doesn't have to report, unless I'm wrong, they don't have to report their profits.
No, they don't.
Yeah.
And here's what's weird is that
because
I've always...
Profit.
Exactly. So they never have to report it. I was always under the impression, the last numbers that I saw was that it was an NFL as a entity in its entirety was a $9 billion industry. If the Packers alone are for just revenue sharing are bringing out in $7 billion a year, mm-hmm. NFL is a lot bigger than everybody thinks it is.
What the national debt is. See what it is. 18 mil?
18 trill.
Or trill. I'm sorry, trill. 18 mil. Yeah. Fucking Steve Jobs. Or not Steve Jobs, but fucking Jerry Jones can pay it off with a fart.
So if the next president can just like hold off on spending on anything, like keep it even for the next 8 years, the Packers can pay that off.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, we'll throw a little Apple money in there too.
That's fucking bananas.
That is bananas. But I guess I'm not surprised.
So, two questions arise for me out of this. Number one, is there any other NFL team that you think beats that? I think maybe
without a doubt,
one or two.
Without a doubt. I think they're printing money in the NFL. I think the Packers, it's the Packers, and then it's probably like the big teams, like the Giants, maybe the Seahawks the last couple of years. Maybe definitely the Cowboys with that fucking stadium.
If I were to think of off the top of my head, just two teams that are probably pulling in a lot more money than the Packers, it's the Cowboys and the Patriots.
Yeah. Oh yeah. God. I bet the Cowboys double what the highest yeah. team is. Like that stadium. Did you see the stadium that he built? You've been there. Like.
Yeah.
How can you build that stadium and say, "Oh, we need your money for the taxpayers?"
It's a theme park that a football team happens to play in sometimes.
Wow. I don't know. I'm not surprised. But then see the thing is like given how much a team makes, do you think that the players are the players getting a fair cut of that, do you think? I know you feel personally about it, but I'm just saying, like, do you think that they're getting a fair cut of that giant $7 billion pie?
Well, it's just, we might as well be talking about Monopoly money.
Yeah, at this point.
I mean, it's hard to say, you know, a guy like me and knowing how much I make, a guy like you knowing how much you make, and then saying, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't make enough with $25 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's
apples and oranges. I mean, to me, I'm like, I'd be happy to make $25 million a year. But
I would play 1 year and then be like, yeah, oh, I win.
But I mean, to you know, to the Jerry Joneses and the Dan Schneiders of the world. That's chump change to them. They don't give a fuck about 25. They lose 25 mil at a weekend in Vegas.
I know. So, I mean, that begs the question. It's just like, what's enough?
Yeah. I think it's all too much. I think it's all a little bit too much. I think, I don't know. It's not going to go, there's no way it'll ever go backwards, but I mean, it's just.
Well, I saw a contract from the very first year that the Packers were in the NFL. So basically when the NFL started.
Right.
So it was like 1963 or 62. And I saw it like a physical copy of the contract for a offensive lineman. So welcome to the Packers, you know. And it had like his salary numbers on it.
$100 a week.
$22,000 a year.
Hmm. Yeah. That sounds about right.
That's like what I made more than that out of college.
What fucking Rudy made. Playing for Notre Dame. I watched Rudy last night. They make money.
Wait, you mean the actual guy?
The actual Rudy. Yeah. What do you think Rudy made from, like,
just the fucking, like, naming rights and all that shit?
I heard that guy, like, sold his story hard. Like, that he knew he had his little inspirational story. Like, put some fucking music in the background and, like, everybody would feel good. He'd make bank.
That guy's an asshole in real life, by the way.
I've heard that guy's an asshole in real life.
And that's not his story. That's... trumped up.
Oh yeah, yeah. The trumped up version of it. Yeah,
Hollywood.
Fuck, going and laying the jerseys down on the desk because you could start for me, Dan.
Rudy. Yeah. You also have to think of like all the residuals. Like, my sister went to school with somebody who was in The Bridges of Madison County.
Okay.
Did you ever see that movie?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Well, it's one of the sons.
Sounds like a Wisconsin movie. Thing.
Sure. I don't know. It's a movie with Clint Eastwood in it from the 90s. He was probably on screen a total of a minute and 45 seconds,
mm-hmm.
right in the beginning of the movie. He would get $500 to his front door every time that movie was played on TV, anywhere.
Yeah.
And that's for like a minute and 45 seconds.
Royalties, babe. Royalties.
Fuck yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Rudy, are we able to pull this information up? I'm guessing Rudy's worth $12 million.
Ooh. Rudy Rudinger, Daniel Rudinger, net worth.
They actually have it.
Holy shit. Let's see. What is Rudy? 500,000? Wow.
That's it.
Damn. What happened, Rudy? National American motivational speaker who's net worth 500,000, former player.
Should have got the merchandising rights, Rudy.
Yeah. I'm sure that for the 500,000 is just for that jersey alone, like the jersey he wore out of the Notre Dame.
What a dickhead.
Yeah. 5'6". Holy crap.
Look at him.
How do you record a sack unless it was one of those things where they're like, well, let's let him by and sack the quarterback. Whatever. It's garbage time.
Right.
Like we talked about last week with the old veteran, like running through people falling down for him.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's 56-7. Just whatever.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
Whatever, man.
Yeah. So I just saw on our NFL, there was a topic that said someone bought the WashingtonRedskins.com and redirected it to Giants.com.
What?
It's a good troll. What do you think? Dez Bryant signed last week?
He did.
Yeah. I don't know if is that a good thing for the Cowboys or not?
Well, I mean, he's a great receiver, but he's a liability in my opinion.
Is he like, where would you put him? Top five? Would he be in the top five NFL receivers right now?
Playing right now?
Yeah. I would say
yes.
Yeah. He, as much as I hate to say it, he's good. The guy's good, but
he's good. Yeah. I mean, well, who'd be your number one?
Calvin Johnson for sure.
Yeah, me too.
Fucking Megatron.
Would Jordy Nelson be on that list?
Let's see. See, now I got to think about it.
Jordy Nelson of the Packers for those Bucks fans out there.
I'd say Calvin Johnson, number one.
Right.
Mike Evans, number two. No.
I was like, really? Controversial pick.
Really?
Controversial at number two.
Calvin
Johnson's number one and two.
And two. And five. Fuck it. He's the entire list.
Fuck it.
He's one through five.
With Dez Bryant at a distance six.
Where does Jordy Nelson stack up statistically to like other receivers? Like I don't know if I know.
You got the The key's right in front of you, sir.
The keystroke. Let's look up top.
We got a soft week.
Let's look up top wide receiver projections.
Fair enough.
For 2016 or 2015.
Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. Like, there's all these, like, guys like that play for like the fucking Bengals,
right?
Who have incredible stats. We just don't know who the fuck they are because they play for the fucking Bengals.
I'm sure at the very least it'll give us an idea. Maybe I'll put Jordy up there.
I mean, Jordy,
he'd have to be if the Packers are so good.
Well, he put up record numbers for he broke all the wide receiver rules.
All the rules.
All the rules.
He did all the HGH. The guy was a fucking monster. He was a fucking monster.
He broke all the records last year. Packers records, at least.
Okay, so we're looking at the top five 2015 projected fantasy stats, and this is according to the fourletternetwork.com. Number one is Antonio Brown. Number two is Demaryius Thomas. Number three, Dez Bryant. Number four, Odell Beckham Jr. Fucking gag me. And then Jesus. Number five is Jordy Nelson.
Dude, they're only putting they're only putting OBJ on there because of that fucking catch.
Yeah, he had good numbers last year, but that's because Nelson Cruz was down. And okay, sure. I mean, does that make him bad, or does that make him not good? I don't know. It's. I think he was the best of the worst on the Giants. You know what I mean?
Calvin Johnson's number seven.
Yeah,
as far as Julio Jones,
AJ Green. Austin Jeffries, Cobb, T.Y. Hilton, Mike Evans. Well, Mike Evans number 13. Hey, what's up, buddy?
Almost in the top 10.
Yeah, you know what? I will agree with. I'll take out Odell Beckham Jr. from this top five list and put in Calvin Johnson. Maybe not in this order, but I'd say that there's my top five: Dez, Demaryius Thomas, Calvin Johnson, and Jordy Nelson.
Yeah. Okay. I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm throwing Nelson on the list, he's definitely like number five or four.
How the fuck did we do that? Like, it's so not football season. I can just tell because I'm trying to think of like top five receivers. I'm like,
Well, yeah, because it's not in your face every day.
Yeah, Nelson Cruz isn't dancing a fucking samba.
God, I hate that shit. God, yeah. It makes me want to like puke in my own hand.
What other player has that ever been a thing for? Ever? Well, ever?
Oh God, I mean, it's like when you look at like. Through history, like the wide receiver touchdown dances or whatever, the celebration, that has got to be the weakest of them all.
Yeah.
The weakest fucking sauce.
Well, it's like they don't put Todd Rundgren on if the Packers score a touchdown. They don't play it over the fucking Fox broadcast, you know, should any Bengals fans be listening. No. But like,
right.
Well, Nelson Cruz, let's play the samba music. Yeah. Hey, why not? Like, fuck off with that. Like,
I know.
Unprofessional to me.
Exactly. And it's like I don't know. I'm biased here because it's like when you see a Green Bay Packer score a touchdown, he either runs back to his team or he jumps into the crowd.
Right.
Okay. There's no touch. I've never seen once in my entire existence watching the Green Bay Packers, not one of them do a touchdown dance.
Well, I like the touchdown dance. I do. Like I'm for it. I hate seeing it happen to me on my team.
Yeah.
But, like, don't play the fucking music where it's like, you're playing his own custom music on the fucking Fox broadcast.
So, brings up a fun question. What's the best touchdown celebration you've ever seen?
I know the best reaction to a touchdown celebration I've ever heard.
We might have the same one.
It would be Joe Buck with Randy Moss.
Yes!
Oh, my God! What? Just hide your children. And just, there could be innocent eye. Like, oh my God, really?
Yeah.
Joe Buck? Like, he's just kind of, he's like sort of mimicking a moon to the Packers fans. I don't know.
Yeah. They
might have called him a piece of shit.
When Randy Moss was playing for the Vikings, it was like Monday Night Football in Lambeau. And then Randy Moss had scored a touchdown and then fake mooned the Packer fans.
I love that's one of my favorite reactions ever.
Okay.
He's so disgusted with it. I'm fine, I'm gonna look it up.
A close second is when Ocho Cinco played golf with the football and the pylon. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I know my favorite biased moment. Let me play it.
Touchdown. Oh, Al Harris playing off. and Randy Moss, without even really being able to run, as he shoots the moon to the fans here in Green Bay.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss.
A disgusting act.
Hide the children.
He almost a little bit made a move that looked like he pulled his pants down.
Oh my God. There was one last season that I completely forgot about.
What's that?
That probably beats this one. I cannot remember who did it. He fake shat out the football. He fake shat.
Football.
Like he held it between his legs and then like clinched and then shat out the football.
Let's see. Poop. End zone. Celebration. See if that brings up any results. Doug Baldwin. Yeah, there it is.
Yep. Oh my God.
Finally somebody did it. The end zone, the touchdown. Is it actually gonna play it? God damn it, I hate when they do this. They're not. They're just gonna show pictures of it.
It's hard to find footage of this one.
Let's see. Might be this one. 34 seconds. It looks like a good one. The end zone celebration that you do playing with your friends, like pick up football.
I know.
I don't think I've seen this one, for fuck's sake.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they didn't even show it. They averted everybody's eyes from seeing this.
Oh, my God, he pooped on the field.
And I'm like, so surprised that you can actually find footage of this.
I don't think so. This one's not coming up. Doug Baldwin, end zone celebration. God.
No, that's on NFL.com. I can show
you. Yeah, that's true. Pretends to poop out the football. I think this is the same one.
Yeah, it's the same one.
You bitch. How dare you?
Oh, yeah, they're actually playing. Look at this. Yeah, just pictures. But they're actually.
All right.
NBC cut away before we could actually see Doug perform the full celebration. But photographers at the game. All
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable, right?
Yeah, that's awesome. No, see, he didn't do it right. He hovered over the football after it was sitting down in the end zone. You have to put it behind your back.
Yeah, you're right. And then shit it out.
That doesn't work. It doesn't work any other way.
Can I give you a random question?
Yeah.
I'll let you think about it because I'll give you my answer first.
Okay.
Because it's a thinking question.
All right.
And in the nature of a soft week, I feel like I can ask you.
Soft week and soft poops.
Bring your improv skills out here a little bit.
Okay.
If you were to open up a gay bar, what'd you call it?
Oh, okay. What's your answer?
Mr. Fisters.
Mr. Fisters. I'd call it Papa Bears.
How come nobody's taken Mr. Fister yet?
Be a beer bar. Papa Bear or Big Bear.
Papa Bear?
Yeah.
Big Bear?
I'll open up a bar in Big Bear and call it Big Bear. Or, oh man, we can go all night on this.
Mama still loves me.
Oh, God. I haven't told my dad yet. That's what it's called.
What would be your rap name?
My rap name? I used to think it would be Special K. That's too on the nose.
Too on the nose.
Yeah.
Too obvious. I've heard it too many times.
Yeah. I'll go with Kanye West.
Mine would be Man A's.
Mayonnaise.
Man A's with Z's at the end.
You call it
Man dash A-Z-Z-Z.
They call me mayonnaise, and they say, why they call you mayonnaise? And you say, because I spread like peanut butter.
Doesn't even make sense, but I love it.
They say, why don't they just call you peanut butter? And you say, because peanut butter has too many syllables.
F and A.
Spread like peanut butter.
Spread like peanut
butter. That's a prison joke. I didn't get that until now, but yeah.
Oh, no, I get it now. I get it. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Hey, you can find him at Mr. Fister's this weekend.
Yeah, he'll be out there signing autographs. let's take a quick break, then we'll come back, and we'll talk baseball, hopefully.
Sounds good.
What's up, guys? It's Kyle, and I'm going to tell you about Reese Witherspoon narrating a book. How crazy is that? No, I'm kidding. Listen, go to www.audibletrial.com/shark to get yourself a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial. But what about Reese Witherspoon, Kyle? Well, listen, Harper Lee did a sequel to To Kill a Mockingbird, apparently, and it's called The Ghost at a Watchman. And it blew my mind that fucking Reese Witherspoon is doing the audiobook version. Like, where does that come into play? Like, how do they get her to do that? Like, why? Like, why would... Let's just get the biggest actress we can think of. What's Reese Witherspoon doing right now? Yeah, I don't know how I got onto that. Anyways, go to www.audibletrial.com/shark. Get a free audiobook download. Look, if you don't want to read the sequel to Kill a Mockingbird, you can go get any other book. You can go get Up, Up, and Away by Jonah Carey and watch history play out again as the Rays are leaving Tampa. And you can read how it happened to Montreal and how they're going to get their team back. Well, not that that's in the book, or maybe it is. Go to audibletrial.com and figure it out. If you have an Android, an iPod, a Kindle, an MP3 player, a Zune, I think you can even have a sundial where you can have an Audible attachment and it'll actually play on that. Any manner of media or electronic, you can get Audible for. And it helps us out. You get a free audiobook download. You get a 30-day free trial. We get a little bit of money on the side to make a better product for you. It's win-win, really. So once again, that address is www.audibletrial.com/SHARK.
Shark Dropper Studios presents to you The Force is strong in my family. My father had it. I have it. My sister has it. And you have that power too.
There he is. Back to work.
I had to protect my investment.
Investment?
Julianne Good. The whore with the dead fiancé.
I just hope I can help.
Your reputation precedes you.
If you don't open this fucking door right now, I'm gonna break it down. Go, go, go! Hurry up! Go, go!
Mr. K!
It's Jimmy John. He's missing.
Go find him, Tubby!
Polly, we're home.
Oh! Doppel Avenue Hurt, Season 2, brought to you by Shark Dropper Studios.
We're gonna ask us to see if the old Rays suck. What do you think? So this one's kind of hard to tell because they didn't play. It's like they played. I guess it's easy to tell. We know.
Well, what we're judging off of is the three stint at Toronto. And then the Phillies game tonight in Philly.
In Philly. The worst, one of the worst teams in baseball with a 32-62 record.
Jesus Christ. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. But after tonight, we know, as you guys already know, that record for the Phillies increased to 33-62. How the fuck?
Yeah, I'm dumbfounded because you bring the Astros into the Trop and you sweep them, which are arguably
the hottest team
in baseball, and then you go to the worst team in baseball. I mean, the only team worse than these guys are the fucking Brewers.
Not only did we beat the Astros, we beat their ace, and I don't know.
You know, and we're sending our ace out on the third game against the Blue Jays, and you go, okay, there you go. Okay, so what we're talking about is the first game of the Blue Jays. Loss. Second game of the Blue Jays, win. Okay. Now Sunday comes out, or you send Archer out there on Sunday, And you go, all right.
That's got to be a win.
That's we're taking the series win.
Yeah.
We lose 0-4.
Yeah, after, on a home run. The Jays lineup is insanity. They're so good.
They are really fucking good. And they're consistently good. They've been good for the last 3 years, four or 5 years.
They just haven't had the pitching. And finally this year they thought that they did, and what's his name got hurt in spring training. His name escapes me, but
so do you know who pitched tonight?
Yeah, it was old Matty Mo.
Yeah, I mean, by the time I tuned in, it was the bottom of the third, and the announcers were already talking about how he was getting a lecture from
Jim Hickey
on the bench.
Oh, Hick.
And I go, fuck. The demons are back. Like, Matt Moore, he's just... If you look at everybody who has been with the Rays who has gotten TJ surgery and has come back, they're completely different pitchers.
Yeah. I mean,
JP Howell being
the first
patient
instance,
zero.
Yeah. I think that's just a result of having TJ. I mean, you have a completely new ligament in your arm.
And I mean, what gives me hope is that it's like his velocity's there. It's just the control. It's the control.
Yeah. He's got none of it.
So what do? You send him back down?
No, he's just got to work it out. He's just got to get out there and work out how to get it into the glove where it fucking needs to be. Or just, he's got to find that groove. He's got to get the innings under him again.
So do you keep him in the starting rotation throughout the season?
Yeah.
No matter whether he loses the rest of the... He gets two wins the rest of the season.
Yeah, I would say that you have to. You have to go out there and get him, especially with the way that we've been going recently.
You also have to look at his replacements, too.
Yeah, we got nobody really to replace. You're looking at, what, bringing Colomé back out of the bullpen?
Right.
I'd rather see him try to work through this than have Alex Colomé come up and...
Right, and I don't want to be, you know, the soothsayer of despair here, but, I mean, you're also kind of prepping him for 2016.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, we had a meeting tonight, so I didn't get to see his games, but I really, like, I'd noticed last game... He was tipping pitches, and if the Astros aren't going to pick it up, but you know the fucking Blue Jays will. So I'd hate to know that he was still tipping off his fastballs tonight. Which I don't.
Well,
I'm sorry, not the Blue Jays. We're talking about the Phillies,
right?
Shit. So then I don't know. I mean, the Phillies are a vet squad. They've been around the block.
You're fucking friends with Matt Moore. Tell him what the fuck's up. Go knock on his goddamn
door. Knock
on
the fucking door and be like, hey, bro, you want to be my friend? You
want a
hug? Can we hug? Can you give me a hug, please?
Yeah, I just don't. I mean, I know it's wrong. I know it's wrong, so I can't sit here and be like, well, what the fuck? Because I'm sitting here podcasting about a professional athlete.
Right. But I mean, if you or I were running the team, we'd have had fucking... Erasmo Ramirez out on his ass earlier this year, and you know we would have all manner of lineup changes. So I think the guy's just got to work through whatever is going on, and it's, you know, even into next year, let's throw him out there and see what's going on.
Well, I agree with you full-heartedly. The only thing that I'm afraid of is if you look at like JP Howell, who was a starting pitcher of ours and then got TJ surgery, we had to move him to a reliever position. Could that be because we had amazing starters at that point? Probably had a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. But he was never, ever the same. Like, I had a little chant going, throw in the towel, here comes JP Howell. And not for us. You know,
yeah.
Not in favor of
no.
us.
No, yeah, you're right.
He would always go out there with like a one-run lead and fucking blow
it. Up, yeah. I
just don't want to see this happen to Matt Moore, because Matt Moore is... such a young kid with so much fucking potential.
I don't think so. I mean, I remember. I think JP had a little bit of a run with the Dodgers when he went there. I don't know. It's hard for me to say because it's the NL, so I'm not sure.
Right.
But I have confidence in Matt Moore. I'm a big fan of his, and I really want to see him work through this. I mean, I wonder what he pitched to. I see that they scored three in the second and then another two in the fifth. So yeah, I would maybe if he labored through the first few innings, maybe he was pulled by the fifth. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we don't have the exact details because we did have a shark dropper meeting before the podcast. So.
Didn't get to see it. Did get to see the other games, though. And I'm going to start banging this drum a little bit more, but it's time for a philosophy change in this organization. I know we've said, like, okay, they've been saying, how long have we heard, have we been hearing, oh, well, it's pitching and defense. That's our MO. That's what, but what are we basing this off of? When has this formula worked? Because it hasn't.
It hasn't.
It's gotten us to a World Series, yeah, but we lost that World Series and we lost it bad.
We've had one AL East division winning title.
Right.
And one pennant. And all the other times we ever made it into the playoffs, we squeaked
in.
I'll emphasize that. Squeaked. Yeah. Into the playoffs,
literally
in a wild card position.
Our last fucking out of the last fucking game, like 162 Magic, is what you call the epitome of squeaking into the playoffs,
right? And second wild card positions. Well, but I mean, here's the thing: the philosophy change also has to come with a changing of the guard as far as talent goes, because you look at the offense that we have, you can't swing for the fucking fences,
right?
And you know the little amount of game that I did catch. They were trying to bomb it. That's what the bats were trying to do. They weren't trying to, you know, get a guy in base. They weren't
right. Let's go out there and be a hero.
They weren't playing small ball. Yeah, they were aiming for the fences. And I go, you're not that team.
Well, I mean, it's the philosophy of like taking what the pitcher gives you. So I guess it's up to them to decide. Oh, well, this looks like a ball I can hit out of the park. And then it's you know, I don't know.
Right. So I mean, what do you do? Do you stop being, you know, skimpy with your money and?
Well, they got that big TV deal coming up. I don't know how much that's gonna help them, but I mean, it's certainly gonna get to the point where it's like, you can't start crying poor again when we're the number 15th television market in sports.
I heard we're like one of in the top five is baseball.
Oh, as far as baseball goes, yeah, we are definitely top five as far as radio and television ratings, and. You mean to tell me that's not going to make a big impact when it comes time to sign your new deal with Fox?
Well, and even after they did the Longoria deal, they even said we have enough cash where we could do a very similar deal with another player. And I was like, oh, you got to give it to Price.
Right.
Mm-mm. And nothing ever came of that. So I know that they're sitting on a surplus of money. They're sitting on at least $100 million over 10 years.
See, we're caught in the middle of this whole debate between the city and the Rays, and it's kind of like we're all suffering because of it, because the Rays are going to go and cry poor, and they're saying, well, we can't support a team as long as the stadium is the way it is. They're going to cry and whine and bitch and moan and piss and complain until they get their new stadium, and then it'll be a non-issue, and they'll pay for players, or they'll do what have you.
Has your opinion changed on whether we're going to keep the Rays or not? Because I know that you've been a really big advocate over the last 2 years, over the last 100 episodes of Word of the Bay, that we will keep them even afterwards. But I sort of got a different sense of direction from you on the last one.
Well, no, okay. So let me explain. Especially today, like today was an encouraging thing where I realized, oh shit, we're one of the top five markets as far as television and radio go, and baseball. And we're I think number 15 television market, something like that. If you're in business, you're just gonna leave that? You're just gonna say, oh well, that's why we're gonna leave. It's not gonna work. Like no, you look at that and you say, okay, there's a problem here. How do we remedy this problem to get these eyeballs and turn them into butts into the seat? And I don't think they're gonna leave that. This is all just. Him and Han and it's, this is all what's the word I'm looking for? It's, you know, the trumping it up and now, oh wow,
inflating the problem.
Yeah, yeah. He's the rooster just scratching his feet and, you know,
right.
I can't do anything with this. What am I supposed to do with this? And that's what's going on right now.
Right. I agree with you. I just don't want to see him go in the route of like, well, we got to start blacking out games. And that's never worked. It never will work.
You're just going to alienate the fan base more.
Exactly. I mean, can we take a lesson from the Buccaneers? It's like, how did that work out for everybody?
No, yeah. It's resulted in like the lowest fan support in years. Like I've never seen the fan base as it is now. I never thought it would get back to this point, you know?
Right.
But here we are. Yeah. I don't. They're not going to leave this area behind, but something needs to change where it's like, look at the lineups that have won the World Series and years past with your, you know, your Buster Posey's and your Pablo Sandoval's and you know, your just
big poppies.
Yeah, your big poppies, big productive lineups. Where's the pitching and defense team that's won the World Series? Where are those pitching and defensive teams that have been winning World Series left and right? Are they out there?
Well, yeah, I mean, I want to say, you can correct me if I'm wrong, because
I'm going to look it up. I'll look it up and see if
I want to say the Giants fall into that category.
A little bit. I mean, they have very strong pitching. They had Madison Bumgarner and Lince Cum, and they had, not Carpenter, but I mean, it certainly does take a strong starting rotation there.
What is every World Series champion team have in common? They have that one really strong number one ace.
Right, they have the ace.
They have the ace, and they have at least three guys in the lineup that can protect each other.
Right. We have none of that.
We've got
an ace, but who's afraid of anybody in the Rays lineup, up and down? Does anybody come to the plate and you're a Boston Red Sox fan and you're like, oh, fuck.
No, I ain't afraid
absolutely
of
nobody. Yeah.
I ain't afraid of nobody. Maybe, I mean, what's sad is that Butler is probably our best hitter right now.
Yeah.
Who the fuck is he?
Yeah, who the fuck is that guy? He, you know, all he does is hit. So looking at the last few years, Giants, Red Sox, Giants, you know, that they all strong lineups, you know.
I would say the Phillies.
Yeah, Phillies. Yeah, but you know, the Phillies had a vet. They had that vet squad. They had they still had Chase Utley. They had Ryan Howard, and then you have the fucking first baseman.
You're right.
Yeah, I mean it's the White Sox. The Red. Look. None of these. When I look up and down these champions. None of these guys scream pitching and defense to me. They all scream, oh, they had this guy, and this guy who could hit.
Right.
Like, that's what that says to me.
I mean, Big Poppy was batting fucking 750 in the World Series.
Yeah.
Unfucking real.
So go fuck yourself if you're going to say, oh, well, pitching and defense, it's what we're built on. Like, where, show me where that worked. Like, is this the 1920s where, you know, where
Shoeless Joe Jackson's up to bat number four.
Yeah, winding it up. Oh, it's another pitch. Strikeout. That's another 1-0 game in the books there, folks.
Carly Clownface Johnson.
See you tomorrow. And, yeah, it's
I hear you.
It never dawned on me until today. Like, yeah, where does that work? What happened? Where's our pitching and defense teams?
Right, but, you know, and then what doesn't help is that you have, like, the Kansas City Royals going to a Game 7 against the Giants, who are a pitching and defense type of team, but yeah, they still lose. I don't know, but it certainly, if you can take a team to a Game 7 built on that philosophy, everybody's going to look at them as an example and see, like, hey, see,
yeah, yeah,
see? Came down to the very last game.
That's what it was. It must work somehow, somewhere, some kind of way.
I mean, it seems like everybody saw Moneyball and freaked the fuck out.
Yeah.
And said, yes, this is what I'm going to base my team off of.
Well, I mean, absolutely, that can work, but it's like,
I would argue, going back to that, I think the Red Sox in 2008, is that when they won it after the long drought?
No, no, 2004.
2007 is what I'm thinking.
Oh, so the big...
Oh, okay. No, you're right, 2004.
Yeah, yeah, the 2004 Red Sox.
That team, I would argue, is based off of pitching and defense. And just like OBP batters. You know,
yeah,
short gamers.
Let's see who's pitching for them. They had Wakefield, they had Schilling, they had they still had Martinez, Pedro Martinez.
They have some batters. They have They have the Ortiz. They have Euclid.
Yeah, but that, you know, Well, Euclid was like he was famously called the golden god of walks. You know, he's a huge OBP guy.
Okay.
So yeah, they had the Big Poppy and who the fuck, Manny Ramirez. I mean, they had those guys were just coming on with your Johnny Damons. And I mean, I guess those are your three guys that you want to say that.
But those guys didn't play on this team.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah.
You're right. And Damon.
Yeah.
I'm kidding.
I mean, and the Veritex of the world, But I would give it to you. I would say that this was a big time pitching team. Wakefield was a really good knuckleballer. Like, this is when he was at his best. And Curt Schilling was your ace. God. Pedro Martinez was maybe one of the greatest Red Sox pitchers of all time.
Wakefield's good.
Yeah. See, I feel like is he still around?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Isn't he pitching for God, I have three teams in mind, and I know one of them's right. Giants, Phillies, or the Cardinals.
Not sure.
Can't just click on his name.
Red Sox.
It's the last team he played for. Red Sox. Shit.
Well, fuck me. So I know, but
questionably sober takes on sports. All right, so back to the issue at hand.
I think it's got to change. Something's got to change where it's like we need guys to hit balls better. You know?
Just do better.
Just do better. Yeah, holy shit.
Just do better.
Okay, somebody, if you know somebody in the Rays organization, send them this podcast. Do better.
Well, you know Matt Moore. Get on his ass.
Yeah, really. But why is it that the guys are killing it in the minors, and then they come up to the majors, and all of a sudden they kind of break? And it's like, well, we don't know what the fuck happened. Could it be like a hitting coach, maybe?
Ooh, I see where you're going with this.
Yeah.
I've been screaming this for years, and I've been shot down for years, so.
I got onto it early last year. I was kind of all excited. Dick got a little hard about, you know, ousting another coach. And then I kind of backed off of it a little, but I think something's got to change. If it's been this bad for this long, it's got to change. That's all I'm saying.
I've been calling for Shelton's head for 3 years, 4 years.
I've been calling for Shelton's head three, 4, 5 years now.
Don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback, bitches. Verdict.
Sucks.
Fucking joke.
Wally, let's go.
God damn it.
Okay. We're going to cut it short this week. There's no sports to talk about.
Yeah, we won't keep you too long.
Yeah. Hey, you all had fun. Go to sharkdropper.com. Check out any of our fantastic podcasts available now. You have Paralyzed, our horror podcast. You have War of the Bay, of course, which is this podcast. You have the Shark Dropper podcast. The
Comedy Improv Roundtable.
The Horror Play podcast, which is video games. We're searching for the scariest video game out there.
Ooh, you have Doppel Avenue Hurt, which Kyle is the starring role in.
James Keys.
Which is a fictional spoof noir. You also have
top five,
where random shark dropper people come in and we just count down the top five, whatever, sidekicks, cocktails, bands we hate. Also movies, films, and flicks, where it's just a review and sort of satire of B movies. I don't know. It's fun.
It's good stuff.
And if you like this podcast or any of the other ones, go to iTunes, and it takes you literally 90 seconds. You've been talking to us, or you've been listening to us talk for longer than 90 seconds on just this alone, when you could have been reviewing one of our podcasts on iTunes.
Yeah. And if you go to sharkdropper.com, there's a little button by the homepage. It's called Patreon. If you enjoy our podcast, or if you want to find a way to support us, that's, you know, if you want to do something to support us because you like us and you think we're good guys, go to Patreon. Donate $1 a month. It's $12 for the entire year, and it does help us out immensely. It gives us a little bit of cash to be able to do some better things for you guys, to make some content for you guys.
Absolutely. We're going to do the revamping studio soon to have better audio quality
and hopefully a little bit cooler.
We've been cool for years, man.
Cool. So, yeah, man, I've done been cool on the other side of the pillow. All right, thanks to Audible for sponsoring. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting. That has been War of the Bay for this week. I am Kyle.
I'm Jonathan.
We'll see you again.
Later.
That is a disgusting act by Randy Moss.
above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark! Go! Go! Go!
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.